Wayne State University football. It's all about the W. It's time for Winters on Wednesday, the insider's look at Wayne State football. Your host is none other than Warrior head football coach Paul Winters, along with Patriot studio host Rod Beard, as they catch you up on everything Wayne State football. Now, here's Rod Beard with Coach Winters.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Winners on Wednesday show. Live from Tony V's, I'm Rod Beard, and of course I'm riding in the sidecar with Coach Paul Winters. The Winners on Wednesday show here on 1400 AM, The Patriot. Got a nice show planned for you this week, breaking down last week's game. Got a couple of student interviews, and then we're going to take a look ahead to next week's game as well. When you go back and you look at last week and a 28-6 loss to Indianapolis, a ranked team, and we talked about that last week, that this was going to be a tough game, a ranked team on the road, that a lot of things just stacked up that was going to make this a very difficult game to go into. But it just felt like you guys did not play up to do the things that you want to do when you go into a game, and that's namely taking care of the ball, trying to play mistake-free, and doing the things that you want to do and that you do well.
Yeah, exactly. We moved the football pretty well. Obviously, having Deontay Nicholas back, he was a big part of us moving the ball. That was big for us. But we turned it over a couple times after we drove it inside of the 25. And one time to start a drive, the guy who was running really well for us at fullback, Stephen Sharon, we tried to give him a handoff on a first down play, and the quarterback gets stepped on, turns, drops the ball. Those are things that you can't do. And I don't know if it was the weather. I don't know if it was just the excitement of playing against a top-ranked team. But we made some probably mistakes that we won't make again this season.
When you look at your offense, you do the things you want to do. You're able to run the ball for over 200 yards. It's just the passing part of that offense, be it weather, be it any number of other things. You've got to have both phases of that offense working in order. I mean, that's basic football. You've got to do both of those things right. You can't just turn around and hand it off 50 times a game and then expect everything to go well for you.
Really? No. You look at the last drive of the game, we ran it and threw it and got down the field in a minute and 15 seconds and scored a touchdown. And I think that's our offense, and that's what we have the ability to do. And I for whatever reason, we just haven't been able to put it together. But now we're in the league, and we're playing league games, and our guys have had a good week of practice, and we expect to put it together against a really good football team this week.
And when you're going that way, when you're able to run the ball and you can't pass it, and certainly we've talked before about the quarterback issues and going between a couple of different guys, it's the running back by committee, certainly, that you've got Demetrius Stinson, Deontay Nicholas, Steve Sharon. You ran a bunch of different guys. So you got what you wanted there. It's just that mix that you want to have with it that keeps the defenses honest, that keeps the quarterback in a rhythm, that does all of the things where it just clicks and it does everything it's supposed to. When you're not able to pass the ball, it puts you in down and distance issues. It puts you in other positions where you just can't be on third and long. You don't have a lot of good running plays drawn up
right,
to be able to figure that out.
Well, and we've got a lot of good football players that haven't had a chance to show their ability. I'm excited about Darice Roberson, and we haven't been able to use him as much as we can. Obviously, he has the biggest play of the season, the 62-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
But Rajon Williams-Jackson, who came on late last season, both of those guys, obviously, we haven't been able to use them the way we should. And obviously, Corey Esther has been injured. But you look at those three wide receivers, and they're as good as any in the league, and we just haven't used them as well as we'd like to. You don't blame the quarterbacks, because I think that's unfair. It's been a little bit of the protection. It's been a little bit of the routes that we've run, and it's just been a total team failure throwing the football, and we'll get that corrected.
The other byproduct of that is that you want to get on the scoreboard early, because that obviously makes things easier. It gets everybody more comfortable. It sends a message to the defense what you're doing offensively, and again, we talked about the rhythm. But you, the first halves have just been a struggle in terms of getting anything on the board, and it puts you in a very tough spot when you've got to come out in the second half and you've got a deficit, or even like last week when you've got a small lead and you've got to play a very good second half in order to pull away with the win with the margin that you did.
Well, I think as you look at the film of Indianapolis, they were determined to stop us throwing the football to specifically to Deontay Nicholas. They were putting a guy out on him, and they were playing a small number of people in the box. And so really, if you had to do it all over again, I would have run it much more early, not even tried to pass, because they were doing everything to prevent the pass and force them to defend the run. And we would have put the ball in the end zone, and that's my mistake.
That sounds like a different look, though, is that more teams are really trying to stop your run first.
They were totally committed to stopping the pass, and obviously they had success with that, and we were able to run it. But, you know, you always try to be balanced and everything else, and sometimes you should just say, you know what, I'm going to run it down your throat until you defend the run. And that puts them in a tough position, and we didn't do that last week.
If you're just joining us, I'm Rod Beard. I'm joining Paul Winters, the Wayne State football coach, on the Winters on Wednesday show on 1400 AM, The Patriot. We're at Tony V's talking some Wayne State football, last week's game against Indianapolis, and looking ahead to this week's game, first conference game here at home at Tom Adams Field. I think I jinxed you last week, too, when I talked about there being no accepted penalties in the opener.
I told you.
Yeah, well, you did, and you're wiser, and that's why you're the coach, and I'm just the guy with the headset on. But those penalties, sometimes it's the timing, sometimes it's a lot of different things, and as much as you can talk about, it's just you get one early that stops one of those early drives in the first quarter, and they never feel like they're at the right time. They're never at a good time, but those, particularly when you're going in and you're trying to score, those hurt you almost doubly.
You know, I don't want to talk about officials.
Penalties, officials.
But the officials call penalties. I will say this. When I open up the rule book, it says Paul Winters is on the committee. I know the rules. And when I get into conversations with people about the rules, I sat in the room when we discussed every single one of those rules. I know the rules. So when we get some of these calls that are questionable, I'll leave it at that.
Yes, leave it at that. But it is the – sometimes it's the interpretation, but to the point, it is just you try to play as much mistake-free football as you can, and when you do make those mistakes, it hurts you even more.
And you know what? We made some. And there was a hole that there was obviously we were a little lazy on. And you just you have to play through that stuff because, number one, you're going to make mistakes. But number two, if you're playing right and you're practicing right, you don't make those mistakes. So we have to continue to improve our practice habits so that our playing habits are better and so that, you know, you get in those situations where maybe you're tired or maybe things aren't going all that well and you're down a little bit, you don't make those mistakes. So that's all part of the process for us. And you know, those first two games is kind of like a preseason for us.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to eliminate some things, iron out some things, and really kind of get this thing sharp for the league.
Right, and that's really what everything presses toward is the league season. And I think we live in this kind of microwave society now where people think one loss ends your season. Well, you can't have a perfect season anymore. Well, there's more to play for than just that that perfect season and trying to build momentum. You want to win your league. You want to be able to – you can still make the playoffs, even with one loss. It's not the end of the world. But we just live in a world now where every sports team that loses a game,
right,
it's the end of the
over.
World. Yeah.
The perfect season for us is to win the GLIAC championship and to compete for a national championship. That's perfect.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've seen this team and what they can do when you get hot at the right time, and I think more of the emphasis needs to be placed there than on trying to win every single game and everything is
well,
fine.
Well, we want to win every game.
Well, yeah.
We want to win every game, but we also want to prepare for the league. Obviously, if you said you can beat Indianapolis or you can win the league, I'm going to say I want to win the league.
Yeah.
If you tell me you can beat Indianapolis or win the national championship, I'll take the championship. What do you guys think, Taylor? Yeah, Taylor takes championship too.
No, but it's just nobody's folding up the tents is the point.
No.
And there's certainly more to play for. I want to ask you about the quarterbacks as well with Donovan and what you've seen there, and then with Jake Amrine, that there's things to like about both of these guys. It's not necessarily an either-or proposition. You can play both of them and like both of them for what they give you.
I like all three. I like them all.
The two who played on Saturday, Cup, did not play on Saturday.
Dakota's banged up a little bit, so we didn't get a chance to put him out there. But I think that I start with their preparation. I know that those three guys all prepared properly. They were all here all summer. They were working with their receivers. They were working in the weight room. They were doing all the things that it takes to be a college quarterback. So, you know, you look at Dakota and DJ, and they both have had success in college games. They've led us to wins.
That's important.
Exactly. You know, as a starter now, Dakota's 4-1, and I don't know what DJ's record is because he's played 3 years. But for the most part, every one of those seasons other than last year was a winning season. So these guys can win, and they can win for us, and they can lead us. So I'm not worried about that. I think that, like I said, we haven't performed the way we'd like to. The weather might have been a little bit of a factor last week. And the first week it was, I don't know, nerves, whatever. There's all kinds of excuses you can make. I will tell you this. Our quarterback situation is as good as anybody. And our quarterbacks, you're going to see something special here very quickly.
It feels that way.
You're going to like what you see. Everybody's going to like what they see except for our opponents.
All right, we're going to hear a little bit more about what our opponents have to fear coming up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the Women Warrior Spotlight with a volleyball interview, Ashley DeCita and Ellie Rodriguez, when we come back after this break on the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM, The Patriot.
Hey, Wayne State, are you looking for childcare right here on campus? Rainbow Child Care Center is now open in Midtown. Come visit Rainbow's new Midtown location and see why so many families call Rainbow their home away from home. Located at the corner of Brush and Mac, Rainbow Child Care Center is the perfect place for your little one to grow and develop. Whether you're in the classroom or at work, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with your child being right next door. Visit rainbowccc.com/Detroit or call 800-90-LEARN. That's 800-905-3276. rainbowccc.com/Detroit and learn more.
Warrior fans, join us on Saturday, September 15th at 6 p.m. at Tom Adams Field for the Tartar Warrior Reunion. Your Wayne State Warriors will take on the Ashland Eagles for their second home game of the season. Tickets are available at wsuathletics.com and at the gate. Go Warriors!
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have 2 branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
At Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, we work hard to show our members how much we value them. It's nice to know they feel the same way. We're proud to receive the 2018 J.D. Power Award for having the highest member satisfaction among commercial health plans in Michigan. Every day, our focus is all about serving our members. To learn more, visit bcbsm.com. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hey, fellas. Let's go now. Let's have a great day. Let's have some fun, fellas. Have some fun with it. Warrior Pride on three. 1, 2, 3.
Warrior Pride.
Great job.
Ah.
Warrior Dead. Team Rally. I said Warrior Dead. Team Rally. Ready. Begin.
Fans, this is Ashley DeCita here with Ellie Rodriguez, a senior on our volleyball team, for this week's Women in Athletics segment. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, glad to be here.
So, as I mentioned, Ellie, you are a senior on the volleyball team. Obviously, this past weekend was quite successful, beating two GLIAC opponents, Grand Valley and Davenport. And then the weekend prior, you were part of the all-tournament team for our Warrior Invite. So a really strong start as a whole. You guys are looking really, really good. So maybe just touch a little bit on kind of now that you're through the preseason grind, how the team is doing and what you guys are hoping to accomplish this fall.
I think obviously we're an older group, but we still have some younger players like Kim as well. She's a freshman. So I think getting them up to speed and working them right away into preseason. So we were a little fresh in the beginning, but now I think we're all starting to click. Everyone's trying to, like, find their role on the team. So I think everything's kind of, like, getting together.
That's awesome. So, and I think speaking to kind of, like, knowing your role and, like, finding your place within the volleyball team, I know that Coach does some interesting things as far as, like, personality tests and kind of figuring out you individually, like, how you operate and how that may work well and may not work well with other personality types. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit and maybe how that's playing into the chemistry with this year's team?
Oh, yeah. Doing that personality test was very cool, actually. We got to see who was who and how that can relate into a game and how to respond to things. So if we're losing, obviously, with the person that has, like, a high D personality, you can speak to them kind of, like, whatever way you kind of want to. But you got to be careful with some people that don't react quite as well with feedback. You know, just let them do their thing, tell them it's all right, go with the next play.
So, definitely. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. And so with that, as a senior, how do you feel like your leadership skills have kind of developed over the years? Like, how do you feel like you're kind of leading this team already early on?
I think coming in, we developed a culture, basically. We had 7 freshmen coming in, and most of us played. So I feel like having that same culture, I think we've just shown that through to the freshmen and sophomores and try to keep that going, and it's just growing ever since.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's really all you can hope for.
Yeah.
Also, for those listeners that may or may not know, you obviously overcame a season-ending injury in the 2016 season. And then last week, we had our first ever Golden W's Award show, and you won Comeback Player of the Year, voted on by your student athletes. So can you share a little bit on, obviously, that's overcoming quite a bit of adversity, and it was kind of going to shape you no matter what, but kind of how that ultimately formed who you are today and maybe kind of bouncing back from that and how maybe you're more motivated than ever, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, that definitely put it into perspective. I mean, going, you learn a lot from kind of both sides of the field. You learn how to be a supportive player instead of just kind of contributing to the team on the court. So you also learn how to help your other teammates grow and helping them from what you used to play, having them try and take on that role as well. So obviously, yeah, that's awesome. A grind.
Yeah, so. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure coming back is brutal, but also leaves you really hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And you are a kinesiology major, so maybe a little bit starting to look ahead to the future. What are you kind of hoping to achieve in your next steps?
Well, I'm trying to get into PT school right now, so this is like my last semester, so trying to get that done. And hopefully I might take a year off, possibly, just to get more clinical work in and internship and everything, but hopefully trying to stay here for PT school, but originally from Grand Rapids, so I know Grand Valley isn't the best place to go.
That's okay. Back home.
It's great PT school there.
Yeah,
and it saved me money, so why not?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, best of luck with all of that.
Thank you.
And final question for our listeners, Ellie, if you can choose maybe one of the, you know, biggest moments that sticks out in your mind as far as a highlight during your time as a Wayne State Warrior, what would you choose?
Oh, God.
You can choose a couple if it's too hard.
There's just been so many here, but honestly, getting into the tournament, I think that was a big one, especially for our program, because we haven't really been able to do that, and hopefully we can get into that again and even go farther into regionals. So I think that was a big one for me.
Awesome. Yep. Last season was phenomenal. And again, like I mentioned, you guys are off to such a strong start. I think I can speak for a lot of us. We're excited to keep cheering you guys on. So thank you, Ellie, for taking the time. And like I said, I'm Ashley DeCita, and you are listening to our Women in Athletics segment. Go Warriors!
That was our Women Warriors Spotlight with Ashley DeCita and Ellie Rodriguez. And Ellie's been through so much. She talked a little bit about the comeback that she had from injury, and those season-ending injuries are always, those are three words you don't want to hear together, is season-ending injury of any kind with that. So it's good to see that she was able to bounce back from that. In looking back at we talked to some quarterback stuff, but in the running game, the first two games are good indication that you're happy with what you're able to get. And we said running back by committee, you're not going to have one guy who's toting it that many times, but it is very much – you're getting different skill sets from different guys, but they've been able to produce for you so far in these opening two games. And I think you're happy with that.
I am happy with it. I worry sometimes that I can't get anybody warmed up, you know, and heated up, I guess, because you have so many good ones. But I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to get Demetrius heated up. And Deontay got heated up this weekend, so James in the first weekend. So we'll just keep giving everybody an opportunity, and they all offer a little bit different skill set. So I think that helps us maybe be a little bit different for teams to defend.
And Deontay Nicholas, 18 carries, 76 yards, and 80 yards for Deontay. I mean, that's just –
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's just the mix. It's not these necessarily these gaudy 150, 200-yard games, but if between those guys, you're going to get 80 and 80. Yeah. You'll take that just about any day, because it usually means you're going to go over that 200-yard mark.
Exactly. If we can feed four guys and keep them healthy, keep them happy, keep them fresh, we're a better football team.
The other one was Stephen Sharon. You mentioned him earlier, the fullback, that you got him going, four carries and 23 yards. It's not a guy that you use very often, but it seems like you pick and choose the spots for him, and when you give him the ball, he's going to usually give you some kind of big play there.
We told Steve he was going to be the first carry of the season, or first carry of the game, and he laughed. He says, I've been here for 3 years now, and I have not run the ball at fullback one time. I said, okay, we're going to do it. And we did it the first, and he had a great game. He was a load, and they struggled defending him. And that gives us another dimension that we haven't had yet. So 4 for 23, and I think three of those were 3 of 3 on third and short.
Right, and that's a position that just gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, especially when you have the other dynamic backs that can do so many different things, catch the ball out the backfield, is that in those short yardage situations, just run a flare screen out for Deontay. He'll pick up. No. You can still do old school football. Give it to Steve and just go straight ahead and get your first down that way.
I've told people, and nobody believes this, but I've told them that if I didn't have the great tailbacks that I had, and I had Steve Sharon was my tailback, he'd be a 1,000 to 1,500-yard tailback.
Old school. Just give it to him and go.
Well, he's 250 pounds. Yep. He's a load. I mean, he squats over 600 pounds. He's got great vision. He's got great feet. And he's faster than what you think. He has a 55-yarder against Walsh as a freshman.
Yep.
So he's a talent.
And that's not even to mention James Hill. Just 2 carries and 16 yards. But you mentioned in the first game that he was able to get off there. So it's – I don't even want to say it's a problem to have, and if it were a problem, it would be a good problem to have, because you've got so many different guys that you can spread around. And how do you determine? Do you go through that? I know you said you script the first drive, but then it is what things worked. Is it the things that worked or the guys that worked, or do you do a mix of those as
you always try to think players and not plays? But when you have good players, you don't worry about it so much. So, you know, with Deontay, with Demetrius, with James, and with the other Deontay, you don't worry so much about the players. You know they can handle it, and you just look at what plays are working. So I feel with any of those four, I can put them in and run the same play, and we're going to have success. Now, maybe different reasons. One because he's powerful, one because he's fast and quick, one because he has great vision, whatever. And you just, what you do, like I said, keep him healthy, keep him happy, keep him fresh, and keep him going.
You mentioned the rhythm as well, and how much of a concern, or how do you even address that with maybe guys who would get 20 carries in the past, or, and in their high school careers, they got as many carries as they could handle. But here, it's harder to get into a rhythm when you get 15, 16, as opposed to 25, 30. How do you manage that in terms of their rhythm and making sure that they stay in a good one? Is it by drive? I know you've done it.
Yeah, you try to keep them. You try to keep them hot and fresh. And I think if you go a couple drives with Demetrius, for example, you just take him out and put another guy in there and give him a chance to heat up a little bit. But the great thing about our tailbacks and really most of our players is they all play special teams.
Yeah,
they all value special teams, and so even when they're not necessarily running the football, they're playing. And they're contributing to winning.
What about your offensive line this week? I know you were very high on them last week and what they were able to produce for you, the holes they were able to create. Was it the same sort of thing this week?
You know, I think the offensive line has done an excellent job, and I'm happy with them because as I look at the film of Indianapolis, for example, in the protections, they were pretty good. They were pretty solid. There's never a guy that I look at and say, well, you know what, we got to protect him. We've got to change the protection so that we can kind of hide him. We've been able to just play football and not worry so much about who's in and who's doing what. I think Adam McJunkin has done an excellent job as the right guard, and Lane Potter and Adam really are kind of alternating and rotating in, and they both have done an excellent job. And obviously, you know, Tommy's really good, and Israel's gotten better and better, and Justin Toxteen was our offensive player of the game last week because he dominated. So we're very happy with those guys.
And there's only more room for improvement there because those are still young guys that we're talking about for the most part that
right.
Those guys are just going to get better and better as they get more reps. What about on the defensive side of the ball? We've talked that Leon Eggleston has done such a good job in that first game but came back with another good game for you guys.
He played well.
Yeah.
He played well. And defensively, I thought we really played pretty well. We had 13 missed tackles. And you can't do that.
No.
That accounted for most of their yards.
Is that weather related too, though?
Maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some very short, strong running backs. And, you know, when you don't have a big target, you have to be precise. And then when it's wet and you slip off of them, you're going to miss some important plays. But I thought the defensive scheme was good. I think we were in position to make those plays. I think we have to make those plays. But I'm happy with how the defense is getting better every week.
People will look at the stats and say, hey, here are the numbers, and they gave up 21 points in the first half. You don't give yourself a chance to win, but it's not, you can't point at the defense in that way and say it's completely on the defense, because in general you expect the offense to possess the ball for a certain amount of time too, and if you get the defense out there for an extended period, any group is going to have some trouble just trying to maintain that same level over the entire first half.
We had a big interception on a field goal that put the defense in a bad position too. So there were some things that didn't go well. But if you look at the defensive side of the ball, and you want to get turnovers, we didn't do that this week in those circumstances. Now I think the first play of the game, Leon Eggleston comes up with the ball and they don't give it to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what you do about that. But for the most part, we didn't get a lot of turnovers. We didn't get any turnovers. Maybe one. But you got to get turnovers. Mm-hmm. That's how you get off the field. We did a pretty good job of getting off on third down, but you need to turn the ball over, set the offense up for a short field. But if you talk about being down 21-3 or 21-0, whatever, look at Ashland this past week. They were up 17-3 in the first quarter, and they lost. So you know, we've been down 21-0 in the first quarter and won. So you can't worry about being down 21-0 at half. You just keep playing.
Yeah, it's a quality of play. You've got to have a certain level of play going into halftime that makes you feel better.
You just can't mentally worry about it, though. I mean, I don't care. The best example I have right now, obviously, I said Ashland, but Green Bay against the Bears, they were awful. And it was horrible to watch, and then they come out and they win the game. So you just keep playing. And you cannot get down because you're down by a touchdown, two touchdowns, three touchdowns. It's a long game. All you do is go out, you get a turnover, get a touchdown. You kick the ball off, you stop them three and out, punt, get back, get a touchdown.
A few minutes.
And now it's a – yeah, and with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, you could be 21-14. You know what I mean? So I want to get that across to our guys. Don't worry about the score. You just keep playing. And if you keep playing and if you're playing the way you're supposed to play, you're going to have success. And we're an explosive team. Darius Roberson is going to score fast. Deontay Nicholas is going to score fast. Put him in a position to score and go score.
Yeah, and it's really just do your job. If you do your job, generally everything else is going to work out for you.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Bill Belichick,
yep,
do your job.
Do your job. Yeah. Just punch in, do your job, and then we'll see what happens after that. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back after this quick break, we're going to have another senior spotlight interview with Drew Downing and Preston Pelham. We'll be right back for that scintillating exchange on the Winners on Wednesday show on AM 1400, The Patriot.
How much more endurance on the court would Tom have if his sleep problems were addressed by a specialist? How much faster could Darnell get back to scoring touchdowns if he had a sports medicine expert treating his concussion? How much more would Priya enjoy running if she found out her shortness of breath was due to an easily treated respiratory condition? Whatever kind of athlete you are, at Henry Ford, we treat all of you. From injury prevention to leading-edge treatment, no one sees the whole athlete like we do. Henry Ford Sports Medicine is the only team in Michigan where every member is part of a unified group. Our sports specialists work together to get every muscle, bone, tendon, organ, nerve, and blood vessel of your body working so you can reach all of your goals. Get back in the game ASAP. Make an appointment today at henryford.com/sports. Henry Ford Health System, all for you.
For more than a decade, the Detroit Sports Commission has attracted regional, national, and international sporting events to Metro Detroit. What does this mean for our region? Hundreds and thousands of visitors and millions of dollars being pumped into our local economy over the past 10 years. From the Final Four to the Super Bowl, Detroit is where champions are made and championships are played. Find out how you can get involved at DetroitSports.org and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Delta Dental of Michigan and Wayne State University are building brighter futures, healthier communities where families have access to care, smarter communities where dreams transform into reality, more vibrant communities where pride in where you live runs deep, because a good community feels like home, with friendly faces, sights, and sounds that foster a happiness you can't help but share. After all, a bright smile starts with a solid foundation. Learn more at deltadentalmi.com.
Good evening, Warrior fans. I'm grad student Preston Pelham, a tight end on the team, and I'm here with...
I'm senior linebacker Drew Downing.
And tonight we're going to go through and ask each other a couple questions, let you guys get to know us here a little bit. So, Drew, what are you studying here at Wayne State?
I'm a finance major, and I will graduate in December.
And actually, I'm also a finance major. Drew and I have taken a lot of the same classes when we've been here at Wayne State, which is a very cool thing. For Drew, who has the best hands between you and I?
This is a tough one. Preston's the offensive guy right now. Play a lot of offense in high school, but I'll have to give it to him. I haven't caught many balls in my days since I've been here, so we'll give that one to him for now. All right, Preston, if you had to pick one person on the team to win an arm wrestling match, who would you choose?
It's a tough one. A lot of strong guys, but to me, Dante Burks is the winner here. Big, big bicep guy, so I go Dante Burks, fullback.
That's definitely a good answer.
All right, Drew, for you, what sport would you play if you didn't play football in college?
I'd have to say baseball. I was an all-state baseball player in high school, and then growing up, it was probably my favorite sport, and even to this day, I feel like it was my best sport in high school.
Yeah, I heard you were a bit of a prodigy.
All right. What teammate is the best follow on Twitter?
Another tough one. Some good candidates. Deontay Nicholas would be a good one, but I'm gonna have to go Brady Beeden. Diehard Detroit sports fan. Some hot takes on Twitter for pro sports. So I'd say Brady Beeden's probably my go-to guy there.
That's a good one. If there's ever a controversial sports issue, just get on Twitter and Brady will let you know about that.
Who's your favorite athlete to watch growing up?
Oh, a lot of great candidates for that, but I'd have to go with Randy Moss. Just so explosive on the field, and just every time he was out there, you knew something special could happen. Who is the messiest on the team?
I always say I don't like this question because I feel like everyone is kind of messy, but I think anyone over 300 pounds usually has the messiest area on the team, so I'd say probably all offense and defensive linemen. Tommy Richardson's probably up there every year as a top guy for that, but yeah, I'd say anyone over 300. Give one last message for all the fans tuning in this season.
All right. It's going to be a special season. We're only 1-1 right now, but I think we have a great chance to finish the season strong and show our fans what we're made of and what we've been working for this whole past off season.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of the best off seasons we've had since I've been around, and I know this team's bought in. We have a lot of great talent, and we're really tight-knit family, and I know we can go out there and make it happen on Saturdays and have a great rest of the season. Go Warriors.
And very much as advertised, Drew Dowding and Preston Pelham gave us a nice taste of the senior spotlight. And it's always fun just to hear from those guys and just kind of the different personalities that you get to interact with on a weekly basis.
I love these guys. We have the best group of young men anywhere. They're fun. They're fun to be around. They're fun to talk to. They have a great perspective on life. And you talked about Preston's a graduate, and we have, I think, 9 graduate students that are playing their last year. So when you talk about graduation rate, well, if they've already graduated, then you're doing pretty well.
You're doing pretty well, Bryce. And I don't know if we've ever talked about who your coaching influences were, because they were talking players that they watched when they grew up. Are there people that you, maybe when you were growing up or coming through the ranks, that you pulled a lot of your influence from?
Well, Jim Dennison was my coach in college, and he's actually going to be at the game this weekend. He taught me PMA, and I try to teach PMA to all the players, positive mental attitude. Mm-hmm. And the other influence during my youth was I was a big Packer fan, and Vince Lombardi was the man. So I quote Vince Lombardi often.
Do you try to take that mental Lombardi approach when you giving quotes or letting them know, hey, there's a mental side of this game that's just as important as the physical?
Yeah, I try. You know, we always talk about the mental part of it. We talk about thought conditioners. We work our minds we work our bodies out on the track and in the weight room, but we always have to work our minds and condition our thoughts so that we stay positive and so that we can overcome obstacles mentally as well as physically.
What about your players growing up that you idolized and you liked to watch?
I was a running back, and there was this guy who his post-career didn't go so well, so I don't want to talk about him, but he was really good.
I know this one.
But I, you know, if you talk about Jim Brown and Gail Sayers, I loved Gail Sayers. Just fun to watch. Eric Dickerson. I love to watch Eric Dickerson because he's tall like I was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like those guys.
Yeah, it's just those kind of old school tote the mailbag sort of running backs. Is you just give it to them and they just find a spot in the line and break through some kind of way.
Well, speed that they had too.
That always helps.
Great combination.
That helps your situation too when you got a little bit of speed.
And yep.
A good problem to have for you two with the stable of backs that you got. We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come right back and finish out the show looking ahead to this week and the opener in the GLIAC against Ashland. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you keep it on a spreadsheet, a memo on your phone, or a sticky note on your desk, you've probably got a lot on your to-do list. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network are here to help. No matter what size your business, we'll help you find more ways to stretch your budget, protect your employees, and streamline your healthcare benefits. Also, you can check off more lines on your list and get on with living. To see all the ways Blue Cross can help you, visit timeformore.com.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Warrior fans, join us on Saturday, September 15th at 6 p.m. at Tom Adams Field for the Tartar Warrior Reunion. Your Wayne State Warriors will take on the Ashland Eagles for their second home game of the season. Tickets are available at WSUathletics.com and at the gate. Go Warriors!
After a tough workout, plenty of athletes reach for a cold glass of chocolate milk. Why? It's got the right amount of high-quality protein and carbs proven to refuel and rebuild muscle. Chocolate milk also has electrolytes and bone-building calcium to replenish your body after any athletic activity. Get more from your training with chocolate milk, nature's sports drink. In Michigan, approximately 1,900 dairy farm families work to provide safe, high-quality milk and dairy products for us to enjoy. Approved by Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. Milk means more.
We're back at Tony V's for the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM The Patriot. Rod Beard with Paul Winners. We already broke down last week's game and a little bit of talk about the team, and now we're looking ahead to this week, and we're looking at Ashland in the GLIAC opener, and Ashland, a team that certainly you're familiar with, but a team that's had a rough start out the gates here with two losses to start, number four Indiana in the opener, 21-17, and then last week, number 17 Ohio Dominican. And that's a team that you talked about it last week, too, that you don't want to start out 0-2, and if you do, you're going to come out fighting in that third week because you know how precious the season starts to get if you go down to 0-3.
You know what? They're a good football team. They've played two really good football teams. Obviously, both those teams are top 20 teams. One's in the top five. So they've had a rough start, but Ashland's as good a football team as we'll see all season. And obviously, they're the defending GLIAC champs. So you know they're a good football team. They're well coached. Coach Owens has done a fantastic job coaching that team. And like I said, he's won the GLIAC a couple of times. And we have to be prepared. We can't worry about what their record is because we actually both have the same record in the league, 0-0.
Yeah. And you want to have a fresh start because, again, you almost put a marker there at the end of the non-conference season. And this is – you're starting
this
fresh.
This is a new start.
This is a completely different approach that you're going to have with this. And an Ashland team that certainly two losses, but you don't have to talk to them about a team that's lost two games, regardless of anything else, who they played, how they played, anything else. It really – the focus has to be on you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want every week. You want every week to worry about how you control your emotions, how well you prepare each week, and basically how you execute your plan. Now – these guys have played against Ashland, and we've been in really great games against Ashland. And we haven't won the last 2 years. We were up at halftime at their place 2 years ago, and we fumbled the kickoff return, and we didn't know we were that good. We're like, how are we beating this team? and we were a pretty good football team. And then last year, it was later in the year, and they were close to winning it all at that point, and we were struggling. But we fought, and their quarterback, who was a heck of a quarterback at the time, he scrambles out of a tough situation on fourth down and scores a touchdown that wins them the game. If we stop him on that play, we have a chance to go down and finish that game. So it's always tough with Ashland. I mean, they're physical, they're big, they're strong. They're very well coached, like I said, and our guys respond to that. And we'll, you know, we'll go toe-to-toe with them, and it's going to be a heck of a football game. If you like college football, it's going to be a game you want to see because it is going to be physical.
Yeah, it's a team that, again, that game is 6 o'clock on Saturday at Tom Adams Field. Certainly come out and join us if you're able to. Tickets are $10. $10? I didn't make that up. Good. $10 at the gate. You can come out and join the frenzied student section that's going to be there too. And as Paul said, it's a good game between two good teams that are going to come out and just play well. And you mentioned that there's a coaching connection too, that you've got some familiarity there. And so you go into the game knowing the style, knowing what the expectations are in terms of a physical game and what they're going to bring to the table too.
Yeah, I was the assistant head coach for Coach Owens for 9 years, mm-hmm. an offensive coordinator. So I know that he's a great coach and that he prepares his guys to be physical. He knows that I prepare my guys to be physical. So it's one of those things where you just go and you just get after each other.
Yep.
And that's a lot of fun when you talk about football. You want to see guys get after each other. And, you know, fair, honest, tough, physical football. That's all we ask, and that's all we're going to give.
It's been years since you guys were on the same staff. Is that familiarity still there with things, your tendencies, things that you like to do? Would he still have a good handle on that, and vice versa? Would you have some handle on what he might want to do still?
You know what? He does things sometimes that are, you know, you aren't expecting. Hopefully I do some things sometimes that you aren't expecting. But for the most part, he knows how we're going to line up. And you know, I can tell you that they're going to run their sweep, their sprint draw. Those are going to be the staples of their offense. They're going to throw some sprint out, and they're going to be a good football team. Defensively, Coach Rose has been a great defense coordinator for a long time. He was a head coach at Miami. He'll do a great job. They'll bring pressure on second down. They're going to bring pressure. That's what they do. And usually they catch you.
Yeah.
So you just have to, again, be prepared, see what you see, believe what you see, and make your adjustments.
They're in a similar situation that we are in that they've had two quarterbacks in the first two games that have played varying amounts. How tough is that to prepare for, because you don't necessarily have the same amount of video and film that you can review and say, hey, here's the type of offense that they're running, here's what this quarterback does, and he's going to start. You just don't know necessarily how that's going to go.
Well, I think you look at it this way. Their offense is their offense. No matter who the quarterback is, they're going to run a similar offense. It's not going to be a drastic change. It's not like one guy is going to come in and be a 4.5 40 and the other guy's going to be a 6'5", throw it all over the place. It's not going to be that drastic a difference when they change quarterbacks. I don't think it's that drastic a difference when we've changed quarterbacks. From our standpoint, you hope that they make a mistake and play the wrong one, you know, or the guy that they play isn't having a good game. You just prepare.
And you've talked about that DNA of being just a solid program. How tough is that to establish in a program? Is it a certain number of years? Is it a certain group that really helps to cement that type of style and that mentality and culture for you? How does that come about?
Here's what happens. You establish that culture. You establish that style every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You let your guys know what the expectation is in your program. The players who are older in the program, they bring it to the younger guys. You establish that from day one. As I came into the program here, we took a couple years to maybe get that established. But once we got that established, then it grew and grew and grew. And obviously, you know, we had some excellent players that really made it grow fast. And we had a Joique Bell who goes and wins the National Player of the Year. And that kind of starts us off on you know, the track. But it's up to the guys that we have now to continue the tradition of being a great program and a physical program and a disciplined program. And I think that these guys are excellent at doing those things.
Yeah, and there are a number of schools in the GLIAC that have that same sort of rep, that when you think of Grand Valley. You have a clear perception of what you're going to see. When you think about Ashland, you have a clear perception of what you're going to see. Wayne State, same sort of thing. And it's just interesting how to establish, and year after year after year, those things are just reinforced. And how do you get those things ingrained into your players? And I think you answered it well. It's just every practice, every day.
Every day.
It's not just something that gets put on a wall, but it's something that's in the players that you know you're not going to just go out there and not represent the W in a certain way.
Every day you've got an opportunity to do things right or do things wrong. And it might not kill you that day, but eventually it's going to kill you if you're continually doing things wrong. If you continually do things right, you're going to travel on a certain plane, but you're going to continue to get better. And that's our guys. Just continue to do things right. Today, do things right. Today, go to class. Today, get to the lift on time. Today, do everything right. Don't miss anything. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. And if you're doing that every single day, you're going to get better, and you're going to have success. I tell our guys from the start, when I recruit them, and I've told them this over and over again, if you come to Wayne State, if you do what I ask you to do, and you get your butt in the weight room, and you get your butt in the class, you're going to be as successful as anybody in the country. And by the time you're a third, fourth, and fifth year player, you'll be able to compete against anybody in the country.
Yeah, and I think you can see that in some of the younger guys that it seems like the young guys that do those things end up on the field and end up performing at a very high level.
It's amazing. I mean,
you follow the blueprint, yeah. And things just work out right for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
One of the things I noticed in the notes was your home record. I think it's 48-31 over your career. What is it about playing at home that seems to bring the best out of guys?
I think that number one now is our crowd. Our students are awesome. And somebody was telling me some research about 1994. Was that you, Jeff, or something, where if the home crowd is strong, the team plays better? It's like, really?
That is a Jeff White stat. They did a study on that?
But what happens is our guys, when we first came in, we said, you know, the most important thing we do is win at home. We have to win at home. Number one was win our homecoming because we hadn't done that. And then we won it 10 or 11 years in a row. But it's just a matter of respecting your home and respecting the people that were there before you. So you know that they're going to come back. This is Tartar Warrior Reunion.
Yep.
I want everybody who played at Wayne State to come and be proud of this university and be proud of this football team. I want, when they look at the gentlemen on this football team and how they play and the veracity in which they play and the effort and the intensity and the excitement that they show when they play, I want them to say, you know what, that represents me. I love these guys.
No, absolutely. And Tartar Warrior Weekend, certainly a time that you want to exercise that. And even when we've had that in past years and we've had alums who come back and play and they say, I'm proud to watch this team. This is a good team, a good watch. They're well coached. You can see that they're well prepared. It's not like 30 years ago or 40 years ago when this just wasn't the same level and the same caliber of team, that week after week after week, you feel like you're going to be in a game, whether it's a ranked team or any of the other teams that are in the league. Week after week, you feel like you have an opportunity to win a game.
We may come up short occasionally like we did last week, but we know we can compete against everybody we play against.
Well, we're going to see if that holds true. This week, Tartar Warrior Weekend against Ashland in the GLIAC opener, Wayne State at 6 o'clock at Tom Adams Field. For fall winners and our dozens and dozens of fans here at Tony B's. I'm Rod Beard. We'll see you next week. Over in a field today.
You've been listening to Winters on Wednesday here on the Patriot. Go Warriors!